I probably won't yell as much in this one.
No, I mean, the last time you guys heard our voices, we were
fired up.
We were rolling epithets every other couple of words.
Oh, not epithets. Jeez, man. Just profanities.
Okay, well.
Stuff that would get us blocked by the Post.
Yeah, stuff that's already gotten us blocked by the Post.
Yeah, yeah. It's easy that way. But yeah.
So hi.
Hello. Hello, everyone. We told you we'd do a post-mortem episode, so here it is.
Can't wait.
Your latest episode of the Purple Dinosaur Podcast. I'm Tyler Mullen.
I'm Anthony Masterson.
And, hey, so welcome in to this final 2018 season edition of the old PDP. Next PDP, we will say, is an off-season edition, a 2018-2019 off-season edition. And your Maya and our Colorado Rockies with, I would say, as disappointing of a postseason showing as could be expected, going in against the buzzsaw that is the Milwaukee Brewers. Swept three games, shut out in their game at Coors Field. You know, I don't think there's a whole lot of positives you take out of the playoffs. I don't even think you look at it and think, you know, they had some moments, they were a bounce here and there away from making things
out different.
Maybe in the ninth inning in game one, and that was about it.
Yeah. They got shut out in back-to-back games. They scored in one inning of the 28 innings they played in that series.
They looked completely outclassed.
Yes.
Completely outclassed.
But I will say, it makes it look a little bit better that the Dodgers similarly look outclassed against that crew of Brewers.
Granted, the Dodgers did win a game and have scored runs here and there. But, they haven't looked great.
They've only scored one run against Gio Gonzalez, Wade Miley, and Jolie Chacin.
Yeah, Jolie Chacin, that's not making anybody want to put an ice pick into your skull at all. And Jolie Chacin has turned himself into friggin' Cy Young in 2018. For
Wade
the
Miley tossed
Brewers.
5 2/3 shutout innings. Wade Miley!
Lord.
He did one better than he did at Coors Field, which is, I mean, at some point, you just got to tip your cap.
Yeah,
you just knew this team was going to pitch.
You just knew this team was going to pitch. I will say, before we get into it, I don't really care if the Milwaukee Brewers win. Everybody's all on this bandwagon of, oh, the Brewers are so fun. Whatever.
I care that the Dodgers lose.
Well, yeah, that I think is valid. Milwaukee sports fans, Wisconsin sports fans, man.
You had some issues on that Sunday game you went to.
I cannot handle those people. Outside of the Packers, Wisconsin sports have never accomplished anything, basically. Wisconsin football is probably the worst. Wisconsin football's never even played for a national championship. And every year people act like that team is just the Alabama of the North. Never even played for a national championship. Let's pump the brakes. But man, Brewers fans were as bad as Dodgers fans would have been.
Were they as bad as like Cardinals fans?
Horrendous.
Weird.
Cardinals fans, at least, like, there's reason behind the arrogance. You've won 11 World Series, whatever it is, 10 World Series. You know, like, you're the Milwaukee Brewers. You made the playoffs for the first time in 6 years or whatever it was. But man, that was. Yeah, I don't like if those people end the season unhappy, I'm not gonna lose any sleep.
Yeah, but that would mean the Dodgers fans would end the season happier.
Well,
and that's like
if it's like Astros fans, really the Astros, you know, I mean, the Ozuna pickup made the Astros dislikable in a lot of ways too. There's like nothing left in baseball for me to be like, yeah, I'd be happy if that team won.
No, and that's usually how it ends. Like, every fan base, every team has got reasons to just loathe them.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. I don't know. I'm not going to lose any sleep if the Brewers get knocked out. But anyway, so here we are. Here we sit. It has been a week and a half since the Rockies were eliminated from the National League Division Series, and figured we'd give some time to settle down and then try to analyze, you know, what happened. This is, to me, it in a nutshell. The Rockies were a poor offensive team who were dominated by a very good pitching staff. I don't think there's really any other way you slice it. I don't think it's, oh, the Rockies got cold and the Brewers pitching got hot. The Rockies were exposed as a team that, when Nolan Arenado and Trevor Story especially are not hitting, are a very, very pedestrian offensive team. This is according to Thomas Harding, our good pal from MLB.com. Quote, according to Baseball Reference, among players who appeared in 70 or more games, the Rockies had five players with OPS plus figures near or above 100, considered league average. Nolan Arenado, Trevor Story, Charlie Blackmon, David Dahl, and free agent to be Carlos Gonzalez, who was not actually above 100. He was at 99. David Dahl didn't play, you know, half the season. The Dodgers, by comparison, eight players with OPS plus figures above 100, nine if you count Manny Machado. The Rockies were not a good offense in 2018.
But they were second in the league in runs.
We've hammered that point a lot. I feel like for people who are going to try to justify what the Rockies were this year, they'll cite the run scored thing. You know, the Rockies are always going to be near the top of the league in runs.
You should trip and fall and finish second in the league in runs if you're the Colorado Rockies. And basically they did that this year. That's
pretty much
that's
if you finish
thing.
Second in the league, that should be considered a massive failing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that's the issue. And the Rockies, I don't know where you go if you're the Rockies that isn't you have to improve the offense. Like there's nothing you can look at on this team and think that needs improvement that isn't the offense.
So the team won 91 games. They went 91 and 72. One off franchise record. They won 92 in 2009. Which is great. But the question we have to ask ourselves really is, what are we going to think of when we think of the 2018 Colorado Rockies? Because 91 games, second most ever. They made the division series for the fourth time in their franchise history, fifth playoff appearance ever, first time doing it in back-to-back seasons. They went on the road in a winner-take-all wildcard game to Wrigley Field and eliminated the Chicago Cubs in a 13-inning game.
Which, by the way, let me just jump in real quick. I follow a lot of Midwest people on the old tweets. Some dude retweeted a guy that said, you know, who's got to be maddest about this Rockies performance? The Chicago Cubs, wondering what they would have been able to do in this series. Yeah, it's almost as though the Cubs had a chance to knock out both of these teams at home and whiffed on both opportunities.
Whiffed
Don't
hilariously.
Even give me that.
Yeah.
Oh,
hilariously
the Cubs should
whiffed.
Be so you had two games at home at Wrigley Field, could not score runs, and now you're complaining that you didn't make it in and had a shot against the Brewers. Shut up.
You scored two runs in 22 innings.
Shut up.
Yeah, with two chances to win the NL Central and clinch home field advantage throughout the National League playoffs if you would have won that home game against Jolie Chassin. And then you had a chance to also make the playoffs, make the DS, and play the team, the Brewers, who you had beaten a lot this year, if you could win a game against the Colorado Rockies, the 2018 offensive Colorado Rockies on the road, and you scored one run in 13 innings.
Yep.
No, and it took you until the eighth to score one run.
Yeah, nobody feels bad for you.
Oh, not
nobody
at all.
Nobody feels bad for the Chicago Cubs. Nobody feels bad for anybody.
Yeah, so that's my point here, was the 2018 Colorado Rockies season as a whole greater than the sum of its parts? And for me, I have to say yes. You can't have a season where you win 91 games, eliminate a really annoying team in the playoffs. Yeah, it didn't end the way you wanted, but you made the playoffs. You gave yourself a chance in a series to advance to the World Series. You were one of the final four teams in the National League, as it were. And there's no way you can consider this season a disappointment, and I think a lot of people are, and I think that's a huge mistake.
Yeah. I don't think – when you're the Colorado Rockies, I don't think you can afford to label any postseason berth situation as a disappointment. You know what I mean?
Sure, like, right. Like the people – like the you act like – people are acting on, you know, on Twitter and in, you know, print media and whatever. Like the Rockies were a failure at the end of the season. And that's
so you're
not
saying
true.
You liked the Rockies' approach against the Milwaukee Brewers?
Yes, I loved it. It was the greatest thing I've ever watched in my entire life. No, like you can't look at this team and say, "Man, that team sucked."
No.
Because the disappointment that you feel as a fan are the things you
feel
remember
disappointed.
More. Yeah,
but it doesn't make the situation a disappointment.
You remember 2008 and 2010. Arguably more than you remember 2007 and 2009 because of the disappointment. When you were a kid growing up, It was way, way worse when your parents were disappointed in you than when they were mad at you. Mm-hmm. Disappointment is always the worst feeling we can get as sports fans. And when there's expectations, disappointment will increase exponentially. And the Rockies had expectations this season. They had made the playoffs the previous season. They came in trying to do the same thing again in a stacked National League West. The D-backs ran off early. The Dodgers ran up late. You gave yourself a chance to win the division in a game 163. You eliminated a team on the road in the playoffs. It didn't end well in the season, but there's no disappointment to be had there because you exceeded expectations, because you took the next step the way you did last year. You made the wild card game last year. You won that game this year. You made the division series this year. That's that's something you have to take going forward. If you look at this and you say, yeah, there were missed opportunities, sure, there were missed opportunities. But overall, it's a successful season, one of the most successful seasons the Rockies have ever had.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's no way you can measure that says otherwise.
Right. And that's why I'm saying, like, were there things that we always found a way to complain about this year? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Desmond, yes. John Gray, yes. The offense, yes. The catcher spot, yes. But you won 91 games. You made the playoffs. You advanced farther in the playoffs than you did last year. It is not a disappointment. There's plenty of room for improvement, but it is not a disappointing season.
You can be disappointed without the season being a disappointment. I think that's
yes,
and it's difficult sometimes for sports fans. We're not rational people, so it's difficult sometimes to parse our understanding into qualifiers like that. But when you look back at the 2018 Colorado Rockies, the first time in franchise history the Rockies have made the playoffs in back-to-back years. They took it a step further than they did in 2017. They got themselves out of the wild card game. Now, to me, the biggest disappointment, the thing I was most disappointed in, and I think the Rockies would look back at and say the same thing, is the fact that they let a division title, a very winnable division
right.
title, slip away. That's what I'll take away from 2018. This team was so deserving of sitting around watching the Cubs and Dodgers beat up on each other in that National League wild card game and taking on a matchup at home for games 1 and 2 against the Atlanta Braves in the National League Division Series. That's what the Rockies of 2018 deserved, and the Rockies of 2018 have nobody to blame but themselves. Had the Rockies
Correct.
Been able to work with a league average bullpen for the first 3 months of the season, had the Rockies not put together one of the worst offenses in franchise history, then you don't have a half game eliminate you from winning a division title, which is what it ended up with, the Rockies finishing with 91 wins and the Dodgers with 92. That to me will be the legacy of 2018. But when I look back at 2018, this season was fun as hell, man. I mean, this is Kyle Freeland established himself. Ramon Marquez established himself. We saw the debut of guys that we were excited about. Garrett Hampson coming up and making a bit of an impact. David Dahl coming back and asserting himself as an everyday major leaguer. Nolan Arenado continuing to be Nolan Arenado. Do we have to say goodbye to Cargo? Probably.
Yeah.
Are we saying
goodbye to DJ?
Probably. DJ, probably. But all of that being said, I'm not going to look back at 2018 and be down on 2018.
Nor should you. And if you find yourself falling into that trap, phone a friend, like call somebody, like talk to somebody. Get yourself off that ledge, man.
It's important. It's important. So is there even a point in looking back at that series? Like, there's not.
I don't think so.
Like, there's like, nothing. What are we going to say about the series?
Terrible
approaches.
Yeah.
Terrible approaches. They're not a talented offensive lineup when a few guys aren't hitting. You ran into a scorching hot team in the Milwaukee Brewers, who, are very likely going to win the National League. I don't know. It sucked. What are you going to say? You weren't the better team. That's what it came down to.
Yeah, you weren't the better team coming in. You're not the better team going out. And clearly the Brewers are showing that they're even a better team than every other team in the National League as well, because they're a very, very talented team, and they're being run in a way that gets the best out of their players, which, hey, what a concept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that we... should not do this to ourselves. But when you think about when you play the what if game, you know, I think the Rockies probably beat the Braves in four also. And then it's a Rockies Brewers National League Championship Series had the Rockies been able to finish off the division right. title. So that's frustrating. But, you know, they didn't. This is the reality that we live in.
Yep.
And we got to scream a little bit prior to game three. That didn't work. So nope. Here we are talking about the 25th season in franchise history, 26th season in franchise history, in which the Rockies did not come away with a division title and did not come away with a World Series championship. So, headed toward the offseason. We're not going to go super long today. We'll have an offseason show when we get to the offseason. There is a really good story up on Rockies.com right now. Thomas Harding has the Rockies' five major questions going into 2019. How do they improve the offense? What becomes of Nolan Arenado's contract situation? What to do with this year's free agents? How does John Gray make 2018 go away? And how can the Rockies preserve and improve the bullpen? When you look at what's coming up over the offseason, what is the biggest thing to you?
Figuring out what's going to go on with Nolan Arenado. Yeah. I'm already sick of everybody's stupid ass takes about Nolan Arenado right now. It's been a week since the season ended, and people are already saying that we need to trade Nolan Arenado, which is just the dumbest thing ever. Like I don't understand people's entitlement when it comes to the Rockies and their best players. Like, if you're going to go out and rip Nolan Arenado, we talked about this last podcast, but you're going to go out and rip Nolan Arenado. Like, get the fuck out of here, man. I'm sorry. Like, what more do you want from a player than Nolan Arenado has given you over the last 5 years? Oh, he didn't hit in big games. He's the only one who hit in the entire postseason, basically. He had multiple RBIs. He had multiple hits. Could he have been better? Sure. Could everybody have been better? Yes. Everybody besides Kyle Freeland could have been better, basically, yeah. in the playoffs. So calm down with that. That's what's going to dominate the offseason right now, is what's going to go on with Nolan Arenado. A lot of people are convinced that the Rockies are not going to pay Nolan Arenado.
Which is so dumb. Can we just can we talk about that for a second? Because I have a column set up on TweetDeck for Monfort's, because it's hilarious. and, you know, it's the same stupid garbage of
that the Post regurgitated in like 2011, like
blah blah blah. It's just all the same. Like, yeah, it's exactly, it's the shit that they were spewing on the sports show for so long. And you know, I when in franchise history have the Rockies not paid for franchise cornerstone players?
They did it with
a
Tulo,
single time
Argo.
That they haven't done it. Tulo, Argo, Todd Helton.
They tried to get Matt Holliday?
Right. They went out and tried to sign franchise cornerstones in Mike Hampton. Larry Walker they paid, and obviously it was a much different economic game back in the day when you were playing in the 90s and people were making what now still seems like ridiculous money, and compared to these days, it's unfathomable. The Rockies have always paid to keep franchise talent, and that's what I don't get. That this whole like the Monforts are cheap thing,
it's such a lie.
I don't get it. Like, do the Monforts go out and spend a whole bunch of money on starting pitching? No. Is that because of the Monforts? It's because starting pitchers don't want to sign here.
And also, the Rockies aren't playing with the Dodgers' budget.
No.
They're a small market team.
We talked about this last year when they poured so much money into the bullpen. If you're going to spend on pitching, you have to grossly overspend on pitching. You can get, for one massive contract for a starting pitcher, you can get 3 to 4 relievers. That's the difference. When you're remaking your roster and you're handing out $100 million, $100 million is not going to sign Clayton Kershaw. $100 million might sign Clayton Kershaw to a 3-year contract.
Yeah, exactly.
But $100 million is not going to add 3 to 4 different guys to your roster as the Rockies did last year with what they put in the bullpen. So I never really have understood the Monforts are so cheap take, because the Monforts handed out 9 figures of money to Troy Tulowitzki. They handed out 9 figures of money to Carlos Gonzalez. The Rockies have always signed guys long-term who have wanted to be here long-term and who they have known they have to give money to.
Right.
I think Thomas brings up a good point. If the Rockies are going to sign Carlos or are going to sign Nolan Arenado long-term, they have to do it with upfront money, because As Thomas notes, the pitchers who fostered the turnaround, this is his quote, begin hitting free agency in 2022. That's John Gray and Tyler Anderson. Right. Kyle Freeland and Nermon Marquez are 2023. So you have those guys locked up for quite some time. So if you're going to pay Nolan, yeah. And apparently a report that was confirmed to MLB.com, Chris Bryant turned down a $200 million contract offer from the Cubs.
How fucking stupid is that?
Which, like, whoa.
Like, what are you doing?
That is nuts. That's nuts to me.
That's not like being grossly underpaid, like the market value, blah, blah, blah. You're turning down $200 million from the team that signed you, and you may not have a good relationship, but they're offering you $200 million.
I do wonder how
coming
much,
off the worst season of your career by far because you were hurt with a nagging shoulder injury, they're going to offer you $200 million. You're turning it down? Really?
I do wonder how much Chris Bryant just doesn't want to be a Cub.
And yeah, I mean,
because the way the Cubs boned him out of the start of his career,
right.
Which, you know, is a standard thing in Major League Baseball. Yeah, now
stupid,
you hold down service time, you keep players in the minor leagues, you can keep that extra year of control over their contract, all that. But Chris Bryant is really one of the only players who has come up and been very vocal about how wrong that is. When he was called up to the major leagues, he pretty much said, like, yeah, I was ready for this right out of spring training.
Yep.
So I kind of wonder if Chris Bryant is as much saying, I'm not really interested in sticking around here, as
right.
he is saying, five years from now, I'm going to get $500 million. Because
yeah.
This is the other thing that worries me, and I am, you know, firmly on the side of labor in all contexts. My worry is the bubble is going to burst at some point. Manny Machado is not getting $500 million. Bryce Harper is not getting $500 million.
Yeah.
Like, these numbers that these players are reportedly holding out and not signing extensions for because they wanted to hit the open market and see what they were going to get, that money's not coming. Especially after what we saw last season with free agency in Major League Baseball, owners
right.
are not going to spend that money. And so the worry for me becomes, at what point does the regional sports network, the TV money bubble, when does that burst? When do salaries, I don't think salaries are ever going to regress, but when do salaries flatline in baseball? Is that what we're getting to?
Well, when there's a strike.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is,
well,
which
might
is
be
looming.
The only thing that forces them to not be that way.
Right.
Because obviously Tony Clark has had his issues, to say the least, in what he's been able to accomplish or not accomplish. You know, he got 2 seats per player on bus rides in spring training. That's
good for you, buddy. Good for you.
So I don't know, but to look at franchise history and say that the Montforts are cheap and they won't pay to keep Nolan Arenado is so stupidly disingenuous. And people, you know, like,
if people buy it hook, line, and sinker. I don't get it.
Well, it's because, like, the average sports fan who listens to sports talk radio in this town doesn't have time for informed and long.
Even people who should know better have been saying this on Twitter that I've seen, and it's very, very weird.
It's just very disingenuous, and it's wrong.
Right.
It's not us defending the Montforts. It's us pointing out facts.
Like,
you cannot look at a single transcendent talent in Rockies franchise history who was not given a lengthy contract extension at market value.
Right.
You just can't. It hasn't happened. Matt Holliday is the one exception. Here's the thing about Matt Holliday. From what we've heard, Matt Holliday had the framework of a deal worked out with the Rockies, backed out of it, and made it known that he wasn't going to sign an extension. Also,
so they traded him for Carlos Gonzalez, among others.
Yeah, they turned that into a very
good
deal.
And made the playoffs the next year.
Matt Holliday was not a good player in 50% of being a baseball player. Matt Holliday is a very, and has always been, a subpar defensive player.
Right.
Was Matt Holliday a great offensive player?
Yes. Hell yeah.
But in the biggest outfield in baseball, Matt Holliday, as he aged, was going to cost you as much as he brought you offensively. The Rockies were proactive in making that contract. Nolan Arenado is not Matt Holliday. Nolan Arenado, you have a talent that is a generational talent. The Rockies are not, unless Nolan goes to the Rockies and says, I will not sign an extension, I will hit free agency at the end of 2019, there is nothing that suggests that the Rockies are not working to hammer out that deal right now. What
right.
the Rockies did last year with Charlie Blackmon, they agreed to a one-year deal in arbitration, and then they announced the extension for Charlie Blackmon the first week of the regular season. So I'm not sure, even if we get through spring training and Nolan hasn't signed an extension, I'm not sure that means an extension is not still in the works. But I do think the Rockies will sign Nolan to an extension. I think that's almost I think so too. Thing. Unless Nolan is the one to say no.
Right.
The Rockies will not be the ones leaving that at the altar.
Now, you can be mad at the Monforts for the way they allocate their money.
Yeah.
That is 1,000% something you can actually be physically mad about, because those decisions have not been the best. But you cannot say that they don't try to put a competitive product on the field within the framework of playing in Denver, Colorado.
That's all I'm going to say on it. The Monforts have never been good at optics.
Right.
That's where the Monforts shoot themselves in the foot. The Monforts have always been bad. The Rockies came off the worst season in franchise history in 2013, and the week the season ended, they started ripping out seats to put in the rooftop. That's the Monforts optics in a nutshell.
When have you heard them in the news? In the last two, 3 years.
Thankfully. They have backed out in that role. And Dick Monfort, and we've talked about this time and time again, Dick Monfort, after there was the departure of Dan O'Dowd, God knows what actually happened there, Dick Monfort basically in the introductory press conference for Jeff Breidich said, I'm going to let my baseball people make baseball decisions. I'm going to step back. And since then, he has.
They've made the playoffs 2 years in that time as well. Crazy how that works.
So, I just don't – it's such a lazy take that, the Rockies are always going to be hamstrung because the Monforts are bad owners.
It involves no thought.
And to be fair, to harp on the original soapbox of the PDP, that's Denver sports media. Yeah. To have a lazy, uninformed take about baseball is Denver sports media in a nutshell. It's just unfortunate that it translates to people who you are missing out on your ability – to become a better fan by understanding some of what actually goes on, looking at a historic context with a team. I just don't understand thinking, I'll just regurgitate the same stuff, even if it's factually incorrect. Although, God knows, in 2018 American society, that's obviously a larger issue than just the Rockies. But when you look back at franchise history, it's not accurate. It's incorrect to suggest that this is not going to happen and that it's not maybe already well in the works.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind.
Yeah.
That to me, I agree, is the biggest thing of the offseason, because everything falls behind it. When the Rockies sort out the economic situation as it pertains to Nolan Arenado, then the Rockies know where they are in terms of what they can do for free agency, in terms of what they can afford if they decide to make trades, whatever it is. That's the thing. You have to get that piece leveled out before you know where you are for everything else.
Yes.
That's why I think that's the biggest.
Yeah. I mean, because right now they have 27 players signing a contract next year for a little under $100 million as it stands right now. The free agents.
That's all.
You're potentially losing DJ, Cargo, Ottavino. Then Drew Butera and Matt Holliday are the main guys you could be losing, and Parra.
But
Parra does have an option.
He does have an option. He's got a $12 million club option. We did get an Ask PDP from Joe Norris. He said, with this postseason play and pretty decent finish of the 2018, should we be worried about Breidich actually picking up Parra's $12 million club option? Also, please talk me off the ledge of thinking nothing will change for this offense next year, please. I don't know if we can do that for the second part. I don't think there's any danger, Joe. The Rockies pick up Gerardo Parra's option. It's just too much money. If Gerardo Parra wanted to come back for $8 million, maybe.
Gerardo Parra was a wonderful part of this team for the last 3 years. For the most part, he was successful at the plate this year. He's always been a great clubhouse guy. You hear people, they can't speak enough about how much they love Gerardo Parra as a teammate, and that's great. You need guys like that in your locker room, but probably not at $12 million, especially when you have other outfielders who can come up and hopefully contribute the same that Parra did or more. Someone like Raymel Tapia, who may actually get a chance.
But I am very anxious to see if he does.
He won't get a chance.
I'm anxious to see if he does because he's out of options. The Rockies have an outfield spot they need to be filled. It's not a situation where you're keeping him down for service time, because he's blown through service time in his handful of promotions in the major leagues. I am very anxious to see if the Rockies give Raimel Tapia a legitimate shot at winning an opening day job. I think they have no alternative because they can't send him to the minor leagues.
No, I know.
They have
no alternative. Yeah.
But it's either that or trade him or lose him on waivers, which is pointless.
Lose him for nothing on waivers, basically, because he is going to be picked up by somebody. And he will
Carlos
get.
Carlos Gonzalez is gone and Gerardo Parra is gone and Raimel Tapia is not on the opening day roster, then there is something that we have not heard about Raimel Tapia.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't get it. Those are the things. I think the other big question that looms is the middle infield situation. To me, I just don't see any point in re-signing DJ LeMahieu.
No.
I've liked DJ LeMahieu. He's been on the podcast before. I don't see DJ LeMahieu is a very nice player. He's not a guy who, and yes, he's a batting champion. Well, you know, Coors Field makes a lot of guys batting champions. The Rockies have had like 19 batting champions in 25 years of franchise history. Something insane like that. He's a Gold Glove winner. Yes, that's true.
DJ was a very, very great player for the Rockies, especially considering what they traded for him. He was the throw-in, basically.
DJ is the best second baseman in franchise history.
Oh, by far.
I mean, that speaks more to the Rockies' second base history than it speaks to DJ.
Yeah.
And that's not a knock on DJ. I just think anywhere else, and I credited him with this last week on the show. Nate Kreckman texted me at the end of the season, said, is there any way DJ doesn't end up a Cub? And I said, no, I don't think so. Like, that move just makes way too much sense. You know, Theo Epstein has been like John Cusack and Say Anything, holding the boombox, talking repeatedly about how DJ was the one that he missed on. It was the first trade that he made, wishes he could have it back. He acquired Casey Weathers and Ian Stewart in exchange for DJ LeMahieu. And Tyler Colvin, who was once stabbed by a flying broken bat down the third baseline, which is the only thing I will ever associate with Tyler Colvin for the rest of my life. But I just don't, there's no reason to bring DJ back for the money that somebody is going to pay him.
Right. And there's so many internal options that the Rockies have. You have Garrett Hampson with a chance. You have Brendan Rodgers, who could be making his debut early next year.
You have Ryan McMahon.
Ryan McMahon, who can play second base. There's so many options to replace a guy like DJ LeMahieu. He is by far the most replaceable guy you have. And that is not a knock on DJ. That is a testament to the kind of players the Rockies have major league ready right now at that position.
That's the better way to put it. The Rockies have guys who will be able to contribute in 2019 who are just better options. DJ is, you know, he's over the hill. He's past 30. DJ is a good player. He's going to be a good player for somebody who will sign him to a contract. It just doesn't make any sense for the Rockies to be the ones to do that. So I know that people have loved DJ for a long time. But, you know, injuries this season, a guy who's not getting any younger and a guy who is a pretty one-dimensional player offensively, he just doesn't make a whole lot of sense fitting into the future for this team. And if you want these guys to be getting opportunities and be getting, you know, into the flow of being major leaguers, can't continue sitting them behind 32-year-old players. So that's, I think, how you assess that situation with the middle infield. Trevor Story obviously has established himself as a top-level defensive and offensive, obviously, shortstop. I don't think he's in any danger of losing that spot. Brendan Rodgers is the one that I'm going to be interested to see what his progression is, because terrific season in Double-A with Hartford. Banged up when he got to AAA, struggled there with Albuquerque.
Pulled out of the Arizona Fall League.
This year, I think if Brendan Rodgers goes out and just tears up AAA pitching to start the season, maybe we do see him by May or June. But I don't think Brendan Rodgers is your shortstop now. I think he's your second baseman with Trevor Story having entrenched himself there. But what I also find interesting, and I noted this on the Minor League Baseball podcast, the Rockies have long been very good about getting their prospects time in other positions. Ryan McMahon, drafted as a third baseman, now plays first, can play second. You know, that's a valuable asset for guys to have. Jordan Patterson, a dude that we've talked about for 1,000 years who likely will never get a shot either.
Nah,
Jordan Patterson, an outfielder who can now play first base. Josh Fuentes, Pacific Coast League most valuable player this season. Third baseman, can also play first base.
Versatility.
Versatility, the name of the game. And that's a good thing. That is a very good thing, unless you're Ian Desmond. But the Rockies this year got Brendan Rodgers a lot of experience at third base. And I wonder if Brendan Rodgers has not moved into being a guy who the Rockies would at least have a conversation about with another team.
Oh, absolutely.
If the Rockies were on the verge of acquiring a big bat to improve the offense, maybe if he were not in the division, let's say a Paul Goldschmidt. I don't think there's any way that the Arizona Diamondbacks trade Paul Goldschmidt in the division.
It'd be awesome. It would be fantastic. Hell, the D-backs would do that.
Long loved Goldie, but why would you trade a guy away who you would then have to play 19 times?
Right. There's no way in hell they'll do that.
It's not going to happen. If Paul Goldschmidt was the first baseman for the Miami Marlins,
sure.
That's probably a possibility. Yeah. It's not going to happen. I hope I'm wrong. I very much hope I'm wrong. Yeah. But I don't think it's going to happen. But let's say Goldie was a guy who was a potential trade piece for the Rockies. And they were talking to the D-backs, and the D-backs said, yeah, we're happy to do that if you throw in Brendan Rodgers. I think this time 2 years ago, maybe even this time last year, the Rockies would say absolutely not. But after Trevor Story's 2018, and with Garrett Hampson proving that at every single level he's just going to be really good, and with the fact that Ryan McMahon could play second. McMahon could play second along with first and third. Hampson could play second along with short. Story's your shortstop if he plays 155 games a year, like it seems he's going to do when he stays healthy. I think you're pretty well set middle infield-wise. And Brendan Rodgers being your top-ranked prospect, that carries a lot of weight. Now, the Rockies are not going to dangle Brendan Rodgers. That's not what you do with prospects. You don't make them available. But if another team were to ask about Brendan Rodgers, I think there is a conversation the Rockies would have now that they would not have had this time last year.
Right. I think the issue with Brendan Rodgers is that there's a lot of people who are very uncertain of his ceiling.
Yeah.
And people's evaluations of his ceiling differ wildly from publication to publication, from scout to scout. Some people see Brendan Rodgers
really that way. Everybody seems to agree on the bat, but defensively, he's a question mark.
Even the bat, like they say, he's a nice hitter and he'll be good in Coors Field, but like, don't see him as like a 30 and 100 guy like the Rockies maybe saw him initially.
The bat projections go from like very good to great.
He's a high floor guy, but people aren't sure where his ceiling will end.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair.
And so, and we're not going to know until he gets a shot, but we've seen him, kind of plod his way through the minor leagues. He's had some great seasons, some average. He's done well when he's repeated levels, of course, like most guys did. Trevor Story did that exact same thing, and we've seen what he can be at the major league level now, too. So I think that's where the issue with Brendan Rodgers comes in, is that there's a lot of question marks about how good he actually can be. And I'm sure the Rockies are wondering that as well, but they have the ability to dangle him if they want, if they have someone like JT Realmuto, they have a chance to get him next year. Let's just throw that out there. Chance to really shore up your catcher, grab one of the best catchers available in baseball at that point. If the Marlins say, we'll do it, but you got to throw in Rodgers, the Rockies would seriously consider that because they have options otherwise. They have Garrett Hampson, who really is major league ready. He can play multiple positions. They've got Trevor Story locked in for at least a few more years. Arenado hopefully will be locked in for a contract extension. If you can make your team better and get your team back to playoffs for a third straight year by getting a guy like Realmuto or like Goldschmidt or whatever, you'll absolutely throw Brendan Rodgers in because, he might be a very good player at the big league level, but he is not Chris Bryant. He is not Vlad Guerrero Jr. He's not those guys coming up, those can't miss kind of hitting prospects. Yeah. He's not that kind of guy. He's going to be a very nice player. Could be even better than that. We're not going to know until we see him at the big league level, but you can definitely do that right now because people don't have the book on him either. They haven't seen him come to big leagues and whiff at everything. They haven't seen him, they've seen him play well in the minors. Don't know how it'll translate. You can still do that right now because there's still so many books out on Brendan Rodgers.
What you have to evaluate is, will the loss of that talent be worse than his replacement if it's somebody like Garrett Hampson and maybe a combination with Ryan McMahon and obviously Trevor Story and the addition of somebody that you would bring in a deal involving him? That's what you have to weigh. That's what it ultimately comes down to. So that's certainly something to keep in mind. They have to do something at first base. They have to figure something out behind the plate. When you look back at last season and you think like Jonathan Lucroy was out there to be had they offered him a little bit more money, you could add Jonathan Lucroy rather than Chris Iannetta.
Who would have been?
And Jonathan Lucroy was fine. It's not like you're signing the world's greatest catcher, but like, God.
And they signed Iannetta like right after the season
ended.
Away.
Like right Lucroy away. Was like, nah, I don't think so. And they were like, okay, Chris Iannetta's back 2 years. The Rockies jumped into the 2017-2018 offseason assuming it was going to be a normal offseason, and it turned out to be the weirdest offseason ever. And you can't really fault the Rockies for that, because if anything, it suggests that they weren't in on the collusion, and that probably bodes well.
Yeah, right.
That's probably a good thing. But it was just such a strange situation, and they have to get something. You cannot – that was the thing that I think spoke most to the 2018 Rockies, was when they got in the playoffs and they got a runner on, couple runners on, and basically when they moved past the five spot in the order, you had zero faith they were going to get anything done.
Correct.
That's not – that cannot last here.
Yeah.
Not good enough.
Because you already have a pitcher hitting in one of those spots. You can't have your 5-8 hitters or 6-8 hitters be pitchers too, basically.
Nope. You can't. And that was pretty much what it was this season.
Yeah.
And that's maddening. The one guy entering free agency who I think is crucial for the Rockies, and I don't know if they're going to be able to bring back, is Adam Ottavino. Because I think the book is out on how good he is.
Right.
And, you know, I do think Adam Ottavino, you know, he's one of my Adam Ottavino, if you're a national broadcaster who for some reason puts a tilde above the end in his name. He's one of my favorite Rockies of all time. He is one of the most fascinating athletes I've ever covered. But if the Yankees came calling, if the Mets came calling,
even if
the Red Sox came calling, he's a kid who grew up in New York and went to college in Boston. I don't think Adam Ottavino comes back. If you're going to get big money to go somewhere where it's easy to pitch, why would you come back to Coors?
I hope he cashes in. Like, I really do. You're going to be relying on the fact that Jake McGee and Brian Shaw will bounce back. And there's a good chance it could happen.
Could happen.
Jake McGee has been on a roller coaster every other year. He's been great. Brian Shaw was great up until this season.
He's going to be your Rolaids relief man of the year.
Yeah, like giving those two guys an offseason to just get back to what made them good, that's going to be fine. And Davis was very good at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Not in the playoffs, obviously, but he was very good at the end of the season. The last 6 weeks or so after really struggling in the middle part of the 2018 campaign. So he should be fine as well. So you're counting on that. If you lose Ottavino, that sucks. But Scott Oberg came through this year, become one of the best relievers in the National League in the second half. Like, you've got options there. It would suck to lose Ottavino. But
$2.5 million option for Sungwan Oh, who looks like the Rockies will bring back.
Sure. And that's something that's not a lot of money. You bring him back and he was totally fine.
He's dependable. He was fine.
Sure.
The bullpen will be interesting. And I'm going to be sad to see Adam Ottavino.
Go. Maybe they can let Adam Ottavino go and re-sign Adam Ottavino.
Oh, that could be. It's just Adam Ottavino in a mustache.
Exactly.
Adam Ottavino.
Yep.
So those are some of the things going into the offseason. Again, we'll do a full offseason thing, you know, once we get into the full swing of the offseason. We'll talk a little Arizona Fall League and we'll preview the hot stove and all that type of stuff, and there might be some news between now and then anyway. That's sort of where we are. It was a bummer to end the season, but hey man, we had fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's 162 games with our weird little family on Rockies Twitter. And we had fun. And it ended disappointingly. Guess what? It ends disappointingly for 29 out of 30 teams every year. So look back on 2019 and 2018 and be happy with it.
Exactly.
And look ahead to 2019.
Yeah. Don't fall into the trap of thinking that 2018 was a disappointment.
Yeah.
Please don't.
It was a good step forward. It's a good step forward for a young team. That's where you still are.
And hopefully they'll make adjustments. The front office will, and try to improve this offense, because clearly I think we all saw that
wasn't working.
Needed, so yeah.
Yeah. All right. I leave the country in 22 hours.
And yeah, man.
Haven't packed, so I should probably do that.
You should probably do that.
all right. So I guess that'll do it for us for a little while. Who you got? World Series. Who you got?
Astros Brewers.
Yeah,
I think the Astros win it again. The Astros, I think, are a ridiculously good team.
They're so good.
Yeah.
They're so good, man. And I hate that there is now an element of them that I have to dislike, because they're so, like, watching George Springer, watching Carlos, watching Jose Altuve.
And like, Alex Bregman? Like, come on.
I love Alex Bregman.
Such a shit talker, but he's so good.
He's so awesome that way. Yeah. I love him. I love him so much. He was, I think I've said this on the show before, he was always so great to us at MILB. And what I think is so funny is, like, he was always such a humble, interesting dude to talk to. And he's turned himself into like this pro wrestling heel.
No, he plays it, man. Like, he's been the best player in high school, in college, and now in the big leagues, one of the best players in baseball. Like, and he's from Albuquerque. Come on, man. Like,
so cool. Yeah. So cool. I love that dude.
Baseball needs Alex Bregman's. Yeah.
That is the absolute truth. I'm with you. I think it's Astros Brewers. I think the Astros win it again. Which, you know, it's an organization that has built one hell of a good team, and they deserve that success, you know, maybe outside of an acquisition here and there. So we'll be back to talk to you after it and, you know, try to enjoy yourselves. Try to figure out what people do on weeknights when they're not watching baseball, because that's what I've been trying to figure out.
I don't know.
New season of Making a Murderer coming, though. I'll be excited for that. All right.
Have fun.
That's all. By the way, I love that Adam Caton Holland owned you.
I know, I saw
on Twitter. It was so good.
I saw. Not me personally.
But you gave it the fave.
I did.
Yeah, Adam said, "I don't respect people who cheer for two baseball teams." And I was just like, it said above it was Purple Dinosaur Podcast liked. And I was like, "Oh, I didn't like that. That's kind of funny." But then I did. Because it was hilarious. But you're in different leagues. You're all right.
Yeah, come on, dude.
You're not somebody who's going to a game with a Brewers hat and a Rockies jersey on, which I saw on Sunday as well.
That's weird.
Oh, God. Not as bad as the people who were there in all Packers gear.
Yeah, get out of here, Wisconsin.
Yeah, you're the worst. So anyway, that'll do it. I don't want to say goodbye. We're going to say goodbye.
Yeah. Have fun in Panama. Bye.
Colombia this time. I get to be in the Pablo Escobar realm, Colombia. I will not bring back drugs, so stop asking me, people.
Will you bring back drugs?
Maybe. Haven't decided
yet.
Okay,
cool.
That's it. I won't. Department of Homeland Security listening to this podcast.
I won't, Alexa. Who's listening?
He's Anthony. I'm Tyler. We'll talk to you next time. Love you. Bye.
Bye.